The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here is your host, Terry Sue.
Everyone, welcome to Frame of Mind. I'm your host, Terry Sue, and today we'll be discussing chakra tennis with my guest, Juan Carlos Briceño, from the Chopra Center in Carlsbad, California. Juan Carlos Briceño grew up in Mexico and spent some time in the UK during his younger years. He created a training hybrid between logistics, project management, and emotional intelligence. He conducted this training in the UK, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Colombia, and Argentina. He's been working for the Chopra Center as a program consultant since January 2009. His skills include being a project manager and emotional intelligence trainer, and has earned professional certification as a primordial sound meditation instructor and tennis trainer. So welcome, JC.
Hi, Terry Sue. How are you? Thank you so much for having me with you.
Very well, thanks. Let's begin by having you tell our listening audience about chakra tennis at La Costa in Carlsbad, California. Give us a little background, if you will.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I might need to start from exactly the beginning with this idea. Chakra tennis didn't even exist in my mind when I was back in Mexico. I used to play tennis. I started playing tennis when I was 13 years old. And then I came to the Chopra Center. There was something that happened at one of the retreats. I came in November 2007 to Seduction of Spirit, and something just clicked, and I decided to shift from only project management at my previous company, which was DHL, to come to the Chopra Center and start learning about meditation, yoga, Ayurveda, higher states of consciousness, etc. And after that first retreat in November 2007, last year, while we had that same retreat at La Casa with many guests, an idea just came to me, and the idea was merging all the training that I did at DHL with my knowledge in project management and meditation and my love and passion for tennis. That's how I came up with chakra tennis and the idea, the concept. There was a director of tennis right there at La Costa. His name is Mike Casey, and we discussed this idea, and he was thrilled. He's a very famous tennis trainer. For 35 years, he has been training great tennis players, and he was thrilled to see that there was something fresh, something new, something revolutionary about the sport.
And, yeah, because when I was doing my research to prep for the show, and I noticed that there's hardly anything out there, and so that's really exciting that you're on the cutting edge of this.
As a matter of fact, it is. I did some research as well when I had the idea and the concept, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing. First of all, primordial sound meditation is only taught at the Chopra Center, and that's based on all the information that Dr. Chopra and Dr. Simon brought back from India almost 17 years ago. So primordial sound meditation is a very important part of the process of the chakra tennis training that later on I'll explain that it's a two-day retreat right now, and it can be a one-on-one or with a group of tennis players. But yes, that's true, Terry Sue. It's something new. It's something revolutionary. It's still cooking. That's the word that I like to use. It's still cooking. And that's the reason why I can share with you some of the pilots that we've completed, some of the things that I've done. But there's a lot more to come.
So you kind of gave us a little bit of a background about yoga, how you got started. But how did you get started with your meditation practice? Have you been practicing for a long time, or did you just start practicing meditation once you started taking your workshops at the Chopra Center?
Yeah, that is correct. Let's just say that my lifestyle in Mexico was workaholic lifestyle. I worked like crazy, and I was successful at DHL, but only at work, let's just say.
So you really needed to slow down a bit, and that helped the process, huh?
I was burning myself out.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, I was very successful and traveling all throughout the world, just conducting the logistics, emotional intelligence workshop that I created. But still, I found myself empty many times. So when my mother invited me to Seduction of Spirit, I didn't know that there was a Chopra Center even. I had definitely read a lot of books by Deepak, but I didn't know that there was a center or retreats. And when I came, something happened, something clicked. I think it was my tipping point, like Malcolm Gladwell mentions in his book. That was my tipping point, Seduction of Spirit in November 2007.
Mm-hmm. So did you have a yoga practice or anything like that before? Had you ever even taken a class?
Or were you on that
treadmill, huh?
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound quite funny. I had a lot of respect for tennis because I've been playing tennis since I was 13 years old. But at DHL and traveling, I wasn't playing tennis at all. Mm-hmm. And yoga, to me, here's what's going to sound funny. To me, was boring. To me, was like, no way. I'm an active person. I play tennis. I don't do that boring yoga. And it's so interesting now to see that it is such an important part of chakra tennis and of my life and of my own tennis, because I am a lot more flexible. I can reach out farther. I can get to the balls easier. And it just gives me so much peace of mind.
Yeah, what I find comforting in particularly in meditation, I have to admit that I'm still struggling with yoga and the asanas and whatnot, simply because I have been out of shape for so long. It's just time, you know, it's time for me to just get serious about everything and establish a routine. But with meditation, I have been meditating for quite a few years, but my practice over the years has been strengthened, particularly over the past couple of years since I've been taking workshops and whatnot with Deepak. And he has, Deepak and David G, and they've been allowing that practice. By practicing that, it's allowed me to really look within, and it has made me differentiate prayer and meditation, because they're very different. Now, you know, when you're praying, you're busy asking. And I had to really stop and be grateful and thankful for all of the things that I have. You're always thankful for the things that you have first. And then what comes into place is the prayer for the things that you want. And those things start to take precedence. So the needs kick in first. And then the wants just kind of seem to prioritize themselves after a while, as opposed to meditation, where you're being quiet and you're listening. A lot of times your prayers are being answered, but you're not listening. Or I know that I wasn't, and I wasn't listening closely enough. And so the strength of my meditation practices has really been beneficial, particularly as of late. So, yeah, I can totally relate to what you're saying. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they're familiar with chakras and the word, and they're familiar with the color wheels, but
yeah.
A lot of people don't really know what they mean. So could you just kind of briefly tell us what the chakras are.
Yeah, sure. And for that, let me just back up a brief moment and let you know that when the idea was created or emerged, the main challenge was how to translate the benefits that I see from yoga and meditation in my daily routine. How can I translate that into my sport, into tennis? Mm-hmm. So something that's important is that Deepak wrote a book regarding golf. The book is called Golf for Enlightenment, and he wrote this book like almost 6 years ago. And but it shows a little bit of the theory behind how you can translate something from your daily routine, from business, from work, from living your life, lifestyle with your family, with friends, into a sport. But it just stayed as a theory, it just stayed in the book. And that information, I took it in, I soaked it in, and then I translated that into tennis. Yeah. And just what you were describing was the amazing thing. You can find peace of mind, you can find stillness and silence, even when you're moving, even when you're exercising, even when you're hitting the ball once, twice, three times, four times, and five times, even if you're right there in the middle of a match, you can find stillness and silence. I started testing this with myself first, and I noticed many changes while playing. Deepak explained this the other day in one of the retreats. He mentioned that Michael Jordan sometimes explained that he felt that time was slowing down when he played, that he was moving faster than anyone
else. I've heard that.
Everyone. That's a very a famous quote from Michael Jordan, but no one really has understood what he has meant, and I don't even think, and I think that even he doesn't really know which type of labels to put into that thought. Mm-hmm. Now, Deepak uses that example and puts some labels in, like saying that is a higher state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. That is really envisioning and feeling your environment and being one with the universe.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to stop you right there because it's time for us to take a short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Juan Carlos Briseño from the Chopra Center, and we're discussing chakra tennis. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Wondering what the heck is going on planet Earth? Feeling time speeding up but your energy slowing down? Then there are those strange physical symptoms, sudden life and career shifts, a sense of loss of identity or purpose. As we rapidly move into a new dimension, the old structures are falling away. How will we navigate what is new? After all, the Ascension doesn't come with an instruction manual. Hillary Harris hosts Ascension 360, Navigating the New World Energies, airing live Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on 7th Wave Network. Ascension 360. Tune in to see how it all turns out. Experience your spiritual journey every week on Synergy with Makila. She's known as the Magician of Light and invites you to come along as we co-create a magical place of accelerated personal and planetary spiritual evolvement. Tune in for tools, tips, and support for embracing and embodying the notions that we are all sparks of the divine and that we are all one. Tune in to Synergy with Makila every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network. Working together, we can bring more joy into our lives and the world.
The ancient Egyptian axiom, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, speaks directly to the power within each of us. Natalie Kimbrough will help you unlock that power on Knowing Yourself to Realize the Power Within. The program will feature ways and methods to help you gain more insight into yourself, such as meditation, yoga, tai chi, and creative expression. Natalie's experience as a Reiki master, medium, and spiritual counselor will help guide you on your path to a bright future. Knowing Yourself to Realize the Power Within airs Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on 7th Wave Network.
Awakened media for a transforming world. 7th Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our discussion on chakra tennis with my guest, Juan Carlos Briceño from the Chopra Center. So, Juan Carlos, let's just go directly into the chakra, the chakras, and we'll talk about, to talk about the location, where they're located, and then we'll kind of break down each area so that our listeners know how that relates directly to tennis. Okay, so sure. Let's start with, well, let's just name them: Muladhara, Swadhisthana, Manipura, Anahata, Vishuddha, and my mind went blank. Oh, Sahasrara.
Well, what's important about the chakras, the first thing that I
would like
to share...
I forgot one, sorry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Vishuddha, Ajna, and Sahasrara. I had to say that again in my head. Okay, now you're on.
Okay, no problem. So the first thing that I would like to mention about the chakras and to share with your audience is that they are energy areas in your body. So just like you have the aura, and just like you can feel the energy and the vibe, we talk about vibe, when someone is close to you or away from you, we have energy. We're made of electricity. We're made up of electricity, and our cells are always in movement and in chemistry and changing. And all that energy has specific points, specific areas in the body where specific type of energy it's like in a conglomerate. And let me give an example. The heart chakra, the Anahata, that's the name in Sanskrit. The main energy at the heart chakra, just to give you some words, are peace, harmony, laughter, and love. Mm-hmm. And we have seven of these points, energy areas in the body. The first one is the root chakra, right at the base of our spine. The second one, we have it right at the pelvic area. The third one is at the solar plexus. Then we have, obviously, the fourth one, which is a heart chakra. The fifth one, we have it in the throat. The sixth one, what we call the third eye, right in the forehead. And the seventh chakra, right on top of our head. And each one of those chakras has specific energy. And what's going on with chakra tennis is I came up with a translation for on-court drills, on-court exercises, because that's the most important thing. How can I first know if I am balanced or out of balance? And in the Chopra Center, we talk balanced when someone feels that energy really flowing in their body, when there's no issue with, compassion, with gratitude, or the four words that I mentioned, the four sutras, that's the word that we use for those words at the heart chakra, peace, harmony, laughter, love. How do you feel with peace? How do you feel with harmony, with laughter, with love? And if you don't feel those emotions or you feel they're stuck, we express this as being out of balance. Mm. So, Terry Sue, what I've been able to accomplish with chakra tennis is before even touching the racket, balancing the chakras, or at least assessing where are the chakras. How are you feeling with each one of the energy points, energy areas in your body? Are you feeling constricted? Are you feeling in expansion mode? Where is each one of those energy areas? Because that is the way that you will be playing your sport. That is going to show definitely when you're hitting the ball.
I know that with Anahata, if that heart chakra is out of balance, it also affects a person's inability to give and receive. So I was planning on asking you, because that brought up a question in my mind. Perhaps is that the same way with the tennis, the volleying of the tennis ball, giving and receiving in one's game? Do you know what I mean?
So yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can comment on that as something that's really beautiful, Terry Sue. At the end of a pilot that I did with this idea and experimenting with a friend of mine, really, that plays a lot of tennis, what came out of that was that you go into such a higher state of consciousness and such balance with your chakras that in that example, the Anahata and love, giving and receiving, you go all the way into loving and caring for your opponent.
Mm.
And I know
that
sounds
about
like
that.
Really crazy. It sounds really crazy, but here's a thought about that. You love and you care about your opponent because thanks to your opponent and thanks to how beautifully they play, you can manifest and express yourself.
Yeah, because also if Anahata is out of balance, that also has to do with emotional detachment. So once that becomes in line and strengthened, then that emotional attachment begins to take over. Is that exactly. Am I getting it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it really shows when you, it's not only showing respect for your opponent, but that you really feel affection for him or her. That has never been even thought about in sports. But I love the analogy in tennis. And I think tennis is a perfect example of this, and it's almost the only example for this, because it's the only sport where you warm up with your opponent. I don't know if you've seen this right before the match, but you start rallying and volleying with your opponent, and you ask him or her, hey, I need some love, and he or she sends you some love so that you can smash the lobs, and then you're volleying at the net, and he or she's sending you the ball from the baseline. So it's one of those sports, unique sports, where you warm up with your opponent. You don't see that at the NFL. You don't see that at basketball. So I think it's a beautiful analogy of what I'm trying to accomplish with chakra tennis. It's not only that you play better. It's that you feel better and that you create a new relationship with yourself and with your sport. Because something that I've also understood now with the experiments is that how you play the game is how you play in life.
And that also ties in with Manipura, with the solar plexus. And if Manipura is out of balance, there's an inability to find joy in what you're doing. And so it's important to keep that strength so that you will, or a player will, enjoy playing tennis.
And here's where I'm going to bring in the chakras and the yoga, just like you were mentioning. The four main words for the solar plexus chakra could be intention, desire, will, and destiny, just to use some examples. And what happens is that with some specific yoga poses that I have come up with, it's a list of poses that I use per chakra, the idea is that you assess how are you feeling with that energy area. And just like you said, if you're out of balance of the solar plexus chakra, you won't feel energy. You won't feel energized when you play tennis. You will fatigue easier and faster and quicker, so you won't be able to play five sets.
Yeah, and that won't bring you very much joy either, will it?
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I don't mean to chuckle. Aw. But
No, but you're correct. It doesn't. The thing is, many, many times I've seen tennis players, and I've seen myself before this happened, before this experiment and before chakra tennis, that you just get so frustrated. So frustrated because things don't work out your way, but the problem is that you don't know why.
And that has to do with attitude.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And here the attitude, what I'm trying to accomplish with the guests that that do this with me is that they understand that they can control this, that at least the first step is that they can assess what is wrong, and not wrong, but what is in constriction and what is in expansion mode. Then they can, obviously, if you have identified what the glitches are, then you can move forward.
Yes. So we're going to briefly talk about, but I know we're going to run over. So let's talk about Swabhisthana. And how if Swabhisthana is out of balance, there's a lack of confidence.
Yes.
And so if there's a lack of confidence, then again, that can very seriously affect one's game.
And with that, what I can tell you as an example is in tennis, lack of confidence, and in any sport, really.
Oh, sure.
Lack of confidence just kills you. I mean, you just commit suicide if you just have lack of confidence when you're in a sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an athlete without confidence, it's really just, you're going to be second place always.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're going to continue with that, but it's time for us to take another short break. So this is Terry Sue with Juan Carlos Briseño from the Chopra Center, and you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Ready to get your business started with a flying leap? Tune in to the Startup Business Coach Show with the startup business coach himself, Dr. Dwayne D. Jakes. Dr. Jakes is the author of Top 10 Fail-Proof Ways Startup Businesses Can Succeed in a Floundering Global Economy. At each program, Dr. Jakes and his guest experts will explain the concepts of organizational development and provide examples designed to maximize your ROI. The Startup Business Coach Show broadcasts live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion on meditation and meditation as far as tennis is concerned, and the chakras and how everything is related and tied in with playing tennis, how important it is to meditate, how important it is to focus on those chakra regions. And we're going to also talk a little bit about some of the asanas, but that's going to come later on. We're going to finish up our discussion on the chakra regions and then go into a little bit more detail. So, Juan Carlos, Swabhisthana or Swadhisthana, it has to do and I have to keep stressing that, if it's out of balance, has to do with one's emotional disconnectedness or lack of confidence. And I know that that you were saying at one time that lack of confidence is just killer for any sport, anybody that's playing a sport and their game. So continue.
Some of my thoughts on that are based on the fact that if you don't know yourself, if you don't spend time knowing yourself and understanding how you think, how you perform, just being aware of how we live, not only experiencing life, but being aware of how is it that we choose to experience life. What are our choices, our decisions? And that's, for example, one of the events and retreats that Deepak performs called Synchrodestiny. How is it that we empower ourselves? In tennis, what I've noticed is that if you don't know yourself, if you don't know your strengths, if you don't respect them, if you don't know your weaknesses or challenges and you don't respect them, there won't be confidence at all. You don't know what you can do and you can't do. I have seen many tennis players that are really petite, really small, tiny, and they can hit the ball so fast, so with so much strength that it's just unbelievable. How can they do that? And the fact is that they go within, they find energy, they find passion, they find strength from within. And it's not so much how big is your arm or your shoulder or your back, but how does the whole body move in synchrony?
Yes. Yes.
So if you are able to tap into those places and know yourself at that synchronistical level, your trust level will go up. Your confidence level will go up.
So then let's go to Muladhara and talk about the grounding, how important it is to stay grounded, because that is the base or root chakra. So how can a person stay grounded then?
And to give you an example, just imagine that it is
Wimbledon. Is the game of tennis and
yep.
Muladhara connected? How do you tie
Correct.
One in with the other?
Correct. Now, let me just give a brief introduction to Muladhara, the root chakra. It has to do with how do we perform under pressure. So we all know how that feels in ourselves. And we have seen others under pressure. And we can tell if they just explode or they can control it. So translating that into tennis, let's just go back to 2008, the finals at Wimbledon, Federer against Nadal, which has been called one of the, or the best match ever in history. And there is match point for Nadal in the fifth set after 5 hours of play. And he approaches the net, and Federer, so calmly, so relaxed, after 5 hours of play, being the finals of Wimbledon, he just hits the ball so smoothly that Nadal doesn't even see where it goes. He cannot even reach out and try to hit it back. But the way that you could see in his face how calm he was just completely amazing. And with this, what I'm trying to say is Federer, Nadal, all top players already use this. They are already in balance with their chakras. They don't have a label for it, but they already do it by themselves. Intuitively, they need it. If not, they wouldn't be able to perform at that level. So Muladhara and grounding, they are really grounded. I mean, you need to be grounded in order to play for 5 hours and be hitting winners without unforced errors. And they already do that.
So let's go then up to Sahasrara, because it's extremely important that we feel that connection, and that we once we feel that connection to source, we are strengthened by that connection to source. So do you want to talk about that a little bit as well?
Yes.
Did you want to address another region first?
No, that's perfect. Just getting in touch with source is perfect. I have also noticed that in tennis and in sports, if you don't feel linked to your essence, if you don't feel that you're doing and performing the sport that you're supposed to be performing, you will never feel aligned with your energy or aligned with your intention or with your passion, or even worse, after 1 hour of play, you will lose all passion. You will lose all strength and all power.
And that will definitely, I mean, the spectators will be able to see that even, because I know that I'm not a real sports fan, so to speak, but I know that if I'm sitting and looking at any game, I can tell whether or not a player is really focused on what he or she is doing just by the way they're playing and the way that they interact with both their opponents and their fellow players. So that has a lot to, you know, being connected to your source and gathering strength and inspiration also has to do with how you interact with others as well as with yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, they play hand in hand.
Yeah.
And they strengthen your performance no matter what it is. And if your opponent isn't doing those same things, then that kind of gives you the edge too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And what happens is, what I've noticed in tennis, and this is a sport that I know pretty well, and I'm talking to some experts in other sports, specifically right now in golf, something that we've noticed is that once you find your sport, that it's so easy to know if you're at the right place, at the right sport for yourself. Your body tells you if it feels comfortable, if you're killing your knees, if you're killing your back, if you just can't breathe, or if everything just flows. Obviously, there will be issues, and there will be frustration, because in order to get to a higher level at that sport, well, there's going to be mistakes. But as long as it stays there and the mistakes are seen and felt in your body as opportunities to learn, if that happens synchronistically and instantaneously, then you know that's your sport. Then you know you're connected to the source through that sport.
Absolutely. And so all of that has to do with emotional awareness, your attitude, your mood. How about visualization? How does visualization come into play here?
That is a great question, Terry. So I think that we can go back to the Olympics, and many of us can remember skiers, sprinters. We can remember also athletes that are going in kayaking as well, and they're just moving their bodies with their eyes closed before doing that. Visualization is key because it has been shown with a lot of experiments in Berkeley and Stanford mainly that when you imagine something with all your strength, with all your passion, with all your might, with all your love, with many emotions involved, when you imagine something and experience a situation, the same areas of the brain are affected as if you were truly experiencing that moment. So it's the same areas of the brain. In other words, visualization helps you train. Helps you train your mind to move right, to move left, to be ready for this, to be ready for that. And in more specifically, it helps you to train and to visualize your shots. So it's like body memory, let's say. So it definitely helps, and I am using it in Shaker tennis. I did some experiments with myself and with this person that I did the pilot with. And yes, it definitely helps. We do movements and swings of the racket without a racket and with your eyes closed. And
with your eyes closed?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Just standing right in front of the tennis court at the baseline and imagining your shots left and right, forehand, backhand, down the line and cross court, down the line and cross court. And we do this for like 5 to 10 minutes. And you might say, okay, what is that going to do? And it does a lot of things. It does a lot of things for your body and muscular memory. And Deepak mentions this at Synchrodestiny as well. It hasn't been addressed that much into sports, but that's the key thing that I want to do with chakra tennis.
Yeah. So also, well, if we're talking about visualization and you're talking about them having their eyes closed while they're practicing, then that also has to do with one's composure and ability to relax in order to be able to, I guess, perceive the different movements and strokes and ahead of time? I don't know. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. If here's where we come in with primordial sound meditation. Here's mm-hmm. where we come in with a mantra, mm-hmm. With being consistent. And this is something very important regarding chakra tennis. There has to be consistency. There has to be new habits and rituals performed right before you play, while you play, and after you play. And like I said, something that I notice is what happens in center court, what happens while you train, you take it back to your life, to your personal life, with your mm-hmm. Friends and family, with how you perform at work. So it is beautiful. What I'm noticing is that practicing a sport from this scenario, from this mindset, helps you in everything that you do in life. My friend that helped me with this experiment and with the first pilots, she said, this has been so therapeutic for me, so therapeutic. She went back and had a conversation with her dad that was, you know, it needed to happen like many, many years ago. And because of chakra tennis, she went back, she had this conversation with her dad, and they broke a pattern, negative pattern that they had for like 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I can readily see how that can happen. Oh, my gosh, it's time for us to take another short break. I'm just fascinated by this conversation. I'm learning so much. So this is Terry Sue with Juan Carlos Briseño discussing chakra tennis, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Hi, this is Randall Libero, host of Spirit of Film Conversations. I hope you'll join me each week as I explore how movies and media are changing the way we think, live, relate, and dream. My program showcases today's independent and visionary filmmakers and their personal and artistic journey to bring their vision to the big screen, television, DVD, or streaming video on the internet. We also cover subjects on new media and the internet, tech news and developments in digital production, and about the groundbreaking ways people all over the world are creating a brighter future using the tools of streaming video, social media, and portable devices. So I hope you'll join me every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check out my website at spiritoffilm.net to find out more about the show and my guests each week. And thanks for listening to Seventh Wave and being the change.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
And once again, welcome back, everyone, as we continue our discussion with JC at the Chopra Center, and we're continuing our discussion on chakra tennis. So, JC, has there been any research on the effectiveness of the practice of yoga meditation and focus on the chakras?
Well, to answer that, no, not yet. But I just met with a scientist from the Institute of Noetic Science. He's really interested and thrilled about the concept and about the idea of chakra tennis, and we're planning on conducting some research with some of our future guests. And we really want to analyze what happens with emotions and what happens with brain waves before, or let's just say with a control group, and what happens with a group that goes through chakra tennis exercise and drills and what we call it the workshop. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we're headed that way.
All right. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about the chakra tennis workshops. What's the format like? How do they work?
Sure.
What would the flow be like if someone were to sign up to participate?
The first thing to mention is that this is open to pro tennis players or not truly to beginners. Here's the thing. The tennis player that wants to come into chakra tennis needs to already know how to play tennis and have his or her shots. They need to know a forehand and a backhand. They need to have already a technique. They should already own their technique, because that's really crucial in tennis as it is in golf. They should have a technique by now, and they should be able to answer the question, this is my favorite shot, this is a shot that I struggle with, because we go from that foundation into building up into the chakras, and also we need that foundation to do the drills. But this is open to, this is the scale that we use in tennis, players 3.0 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the workshops, right now I'm full-time employee right here at the Chopra Center for Wellbeing with Deepak. I'm promoting Chopra en Español for some of our retreats in the future, in 2012 maybe. Mm-hmm. And I'm also helping many guests attend our retreats. And chakra tennis right now, the idea is that it's a two-day workshop, and I'm offering it Saturdays and Sundays. It is a one-on-one thing if a guest wants to do it that way. But I'm also planning on having groups of 10 to 15 guests with 5 guests or players per court. So it's not going to be only me. It's going to be some other trainers in those courts when we have groups of 15 to 20.
And so with the on-court drills, they'll be practicing, of course, their forehand, their backhand, some footwork.
Well, it's going to go a lot farther than that. That is, let's just say that the main thing, we won't be looking at their technique.
Because they have to bring it with them, right?
We're going to be looking at the effect that balancing their chakras, their emotions, and visualizing and meditation has in their technique. So as a matter of fact, we're going to take them away from their technique. We're just going to tell them, don't focus. Forget about your technique. Mm-hmm. Forget about that you have a best shot and a lousy shot. That doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, so they can pretty much count on meditating, twice a day?
Yes, and they should be planning. There's a lot of surprises. That's something I can tell you. They should be planning. One of them is they should be planning on meditating at the most, at the weirdest moment. That's the moment when they're going to be meditating.
So I'm assuming some of that is going to be actually out on the court.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, 70% of this workshop is in center court.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 70% of the workshop, there's going to be theory. We're going to go through the chakras, just like you mentioned them. We're going to go through what are the energy points, what are the sutras. We're going to give them the primordial sound mantra based on what we teach here at the Chopra Center. We're going to show them about higher states of consciousness. So all of that is theory. But all of that will be taken into the tennis court, and what I truly believe and what I've seen is when you feel something, when you experience something, is when you truly learn something.
Yes. In the field of education, we have to address the auditory learners, the visual learners, the tactile, the kinesthetic, because everybody doesn't learn the same way. And actually, they don't learn on the same day sometimes. It kicks in the day after. Oh, that's what they meant, or that's what the teacher meant when he or she said whatever it was that that we were addressing, whatever the objective was for the lesson. So, yes, you definitely do have to address it and understand it, that people learn in different ways. And sometimes they have to use all of those modalities in order to truly be able to master the concept that's been taught to them. So I can totally relate to that. Do you think that there's going to be a program for beginning tennis players? Because I can also see the benefits of someone starting to play tennis, learning how to play tennis with that kind of grounding to begin with. That sounds like it would be something very beneficial.
Yes.
To catch them at the ground level. Because people are stuck in their way, so to speak. Me being Kafa, believe me, I know about being stuck in one's ways. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes old habits are hard to break, but if you catch somebody on the when they're learning for the first time, then that'll be all they know. The chakra tennis will be all they know, and that will be like more like second nature to them. So I was, you know, I was just going to pose the question to you: do you think that there might be a program maybe later on down the line for beginners?
Yes, the answer is yes, and I'm already. I already contacted, had some conversations specifically with the Mexican Tennis Association. Okay. I have a friend there, and they heard about this, and they're really interested in grassroots, and in they're really interested in those beginners that don't understand exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They don't even know if they like it or not.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about chakra tennis is that you mentioned visual, auditory, mm-hmm. and kinesthetic.
Yes.
I bring all three things on the training. Just to give you an example, music is a very important key factor in the training.
Wow.
And I'm just going to leave it at that, because there's a lot of things that go into that, but I can tell you that music and orchestra and opera and New Age and heavy metal and all those words, mm-hmm. they play an important part in the training.
Now you've really piqued my curiosity. I was already curious before, but now I kind of want to see it put into practice. That sounds absolutely fascinating.
It is thrilling to see what happens, and I can definitely tell you that. I mean, the tears come out, the emotions come out, the laughter comes out, and it's just pure joy, and it goes back to yoga, to the meaning of yoga, union.
Could you share some of the asanas that address, the yoga asanas that address some of the chakra regions that would facilitate strengthening a person's game?
Absolutely. One that comes to mind as the most shocking one. I didn't expect this to be that such a huge impact, but it did, and it has to do with Anahata, with the heart chakra, and the pose is what we call the cobra pose. When you are lying face down and you just move your upper torso with your hands, just pushing the mat or pushing the tennis court from you, and just trying to move your head upwards and closing your eyes and just focusing on green color, beautiful green color in your heart chakra, and just repeating to yourself peace, harmony, laughter and love, to give some examples.
Yes.
And compassion and gratitude. You just repeat yourself, compassion, compassion. I am compassion. I am grateful. And you're watching, you're feeling that green inside of you with that asana. So that's just to give you an example. And there's thousands of asanas. And I'm jotting down, and that's what I'm configuring right now, a list of all the asanas that I want to focus on per chakra.
Oh, well, it sounds like a beautiful program that you are putting or have put together. And I wish you the best of luck. And that time went by, our time went by really quickly. So I'd like to thank my guest, Juan Carlos Briseño, for sharing his knowledge and expertise to help tennis players who wish to improve their performances on the court and to increase their focus and concentration. And if our listeners would like to find out more, JC, how can you be reached?
Sure. My cell phone, right now, anyone that's interested, I'm talking to them one-on-one. So my cell phone is 732-861-9422, 732-861-9422.
And I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together, and if you know someone who could be helped or served by this knowledge, please share it with them. Until next time, live in peace and love, everyone. Enjoy your day, and adios, JC.
Hasta luego. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths, live and think healthier this week.